This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters who are here at the Yuma Center and those who are online, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all, to make us from amongst those who get together for the sake of Allah, to learn more about the deen of Allah and the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us under the banner of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world and the hereafter. In the hereafter, people are resurrected in groups, and people will be resurrected and assembled in a group that they had affiliated themselves to in this world. So the people that you looked like and the people that you followed and the people that you looked up to are the people that you'll be with in the hereafter. I want to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm sure you share the same objective and goal, and that's why you're here. You want to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter, because the last thing that you want to see and the last thing that you want to encounter and experience in the hereafter, that you'll be resurrected with the lowest of people or the worst of people or the most disobedient of people and sinners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased from in this world, to be resurrected with them in the hereafter. I don't want to be from them, and I'm sure you don't want to be amongst them. So alhamdulillah, we get together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to learn more about Allah azza wa jal and the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, so we could be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world and the hereafter. In the hereafter, yes, physically with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this world, morally with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. To have the morals of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the values of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manners and the ethics of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. One of the most beautiful things that connect you closer to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, morally and spiritually in this world and physically in the hereafter, is to know more about the seerah and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why we get together every Thursday night, for us to learn more about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, about the great story of this great man Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. And when you learn about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only that you entertain and you enjoy that seerah, but also you love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam more, they want to act like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam more, they want to be like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam more, and inshallah you'll be with him in the hereafter. One hadith always resonates in my mind, that hadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam talks about in the hereafter, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam will be standing on his hawd, on his fountain. And while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is standing on his fountain, people from his nation, his followers, his members from his nation will be flocking to that fountain to drink from the blessed hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, I will recognize people from my nation. They are from my nation. I'll know them. They'll recognize me. They'll be flocking to me to drink from my fountain. But then they'll be stopped. I'll say, Ya Allah, what did you stop them? They are from my nation. Allah will say to him, Oh Muhammad, yes, they are from your nation. But you don't know what they've done after you. You don't know what these people had innovated after you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Oh Allah, distance me from them and distance them from me. That's the worst position that any Muslim can ever be in. In the hereafter, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is interceding for every single member of his nation, every single follower of his nation, you'll be from amongst those that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ya Allah, keep him away from me and keep him away from him. But alhamdulillah, we are here and we are listening to this seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because we want to drink from the blessed hand of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam in the hereafter. And by you being part of this gathering, and you're attending this gathering, and even those who are online, because this is live. By you being part of this gathering, inshallah, know for a fact that this is a good sign that you're on the right path to be from amongst those who will drink from the blessed hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you and make you to be from amongst those who drink from the blessed hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, we said that the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is divided to two main phases. the first phase, which is in Mecca, the second phase, which is in Medina. We've already covered the first phase in Mecca, but now we've been talking about the second phase and second part of the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. The first phase was 13 years of the life of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a prophet and messenger in Mecca. The second phase is in Medina, and that went for just under 10 years. Even though the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was longer as a prophet and lived longer as a prophet in the first phase, 13 years in Mecca, but you'll find more detailed story on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and more information in the second phase when the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Medina. So when you get to the seerah books, if the seerah book is 500 pages, the first 40 years of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be in 40 pages. The first 40 years before the prophecy. And then 90% of the seerah book will be about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the moment he received the prophecy. And then from the 450 pages or 460 pages, you'll find maybe 150 in Mecca and the rest in Medina. There's more details. We get more details of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. The reason is that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in a challenging moment, a struggle in Mecca. But when he moved to Medina, established his own state, he establishes his own Islamic state, he establishes his own army, he establishes his own departments, he established this, established that. That started to eventuate, and this started to generate more information, more activity, more things took place, which gave us more information. And we mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in the first great battle, which is the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr is not the first battle, but it's the first great battle that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had participated in. And we mentioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given victory to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that battle in the second year after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was in the second year of the Hijrah. Given that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam won against the people of Quraysh for an entire year they were mourning, they were grieving, they're dead, and they did not settle, they did not relax, they did not calm down. They continued to mourn and they continued to grieve their death for 1 year. So much so that they start to prepare for a retaliation. Obviously they lost the battle, and that was the biggest loss that the people of Quraysh had encountered in a very long time. I mentioned to you, the people of Quraysh were considered to be the chiefs, the leaders of the Arabs. They were so respected in the Arabian Peninsula. They're not the top people you like to mess around with. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them a very good lesson in the Battle of Badr, where they lost 70 of their people, including their chiefs, and 70 were captive, and the rest retreated and went back home. For one entire year, the people of Quraysh were grieving and they were mourning their dead. To the extent they start to reprimand people who cried over their dead. They start to reprimand anyone that used to cry over any soul or any person that had lost in the Battle of Badr. Why? Because when you cry, what happens? You vent out your emotions. No, keep them inside. We're going to use them later on. Keep your emotions inside. Don't cry. That's why they start to reprimand people, in particular women, children, people who are connected to relatives and kins, people who lost loved ones from the people of Quraysh in the Battle of Badr. They start to reprimand and say, don't cry. But I'm going to cry, I'm going to bust, I need to cry. I lost my father, I lost my brother, I lost my nephew, I lost my son, I want to cry. No. Save it for later on. What's later on? We're going to hit back at Muhammad and his people. And that's what led to the Battle of Uhud. So for one entire year, the people of Quraysh are preparing for the Battle of Uhud. Now this battle, obviously, it was an outcome. It was a consequence of the Battle of Badr, where the people of Quraysh traveled and marched out of Mecca to come and attack the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to avenge their dead and to retaliate and hit back at the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for their loss in the Battle of Badr. Now obviously this time, the people of Quraysh, they're going to be a lot more prepared than the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They're going to prepare themselves more than the Battle of Badr. And they're going to round up more people than the Battle of Badr. Their intention was to destroy the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once and for all. So imagine the mindset. And remember the reason that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out from Medina to the Battle of Badr, which later on eventuated as the Battle of Badr. But remember the reason the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam marched out of Medina, which led to the Battle of Badr. It was that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to raid a caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to raid the caravan and compensate himself and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for what they've lost in Mecca. So what did Abu Sufyan, who was leading the caravan at that time, he managed to flee. Now this caravan had carried a lot of wealth that belonged to the people of Quraysh. They left from Mecca to Syria to trade. They made money and they brought with them, they exchanged it with products and items and merchandises that they brought it with them back to Mecca to sell in Mecca. So they made money. That caravan and all the profits of that caravan went into supplying the army to come and fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud. So that's how prepared they were, morally, emotionally, and financially. All the money that they had invested in that caravan and the profit that they made went back into preparing the army to come and fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud. Now, the people of Quraysh are being led by Abu Sufyan. At one stage, they had 10 prominent, or around that number, 10 prominent leaders from the people of Quraysh. Most of them were killed in the Battle of Badr. Abu Jahl, Utba, Rabi'a, Umayyah, and the rest of these leaders, like, you know, the heavyweights of the people of Quraysh, they were all killed. Abu Sufyan wasn't in the Battle of Badr because he was leading the caravan. And Abu Sufyan was considered to be one of the chiefs of the people of Quraysh. So he became the most prominent chief of the people of Quraysh after the Battle of Badr. Abu Sufyan, remember that name. And then you had the second tier leaders. They were young. In the presence of Abu Jahl, in the presence of Abu Lahab, in the presence of Utba and Umayyah and all those hierarchies, Khalid ibn Walid, Ikrim ibn Bajal, and Amr ibn al-As, because they were young, they were considered to be second tier leaders. But now in the absence and the demise and the death of their first tier leaders, they've stepped up now. So now you've got Khalid ibn Walid, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, Amr ibn al-As, and all those people who are considered to be the young ones, who are the next generation. Now they had to take over the leadership. But who was the most prominent leader of the people of Quraysh? Abu Sufyan. Now all those people, Abu Sufyan, Khalid ibn Walid, Ikrimah, Amr ibn al-As, up until now, there's no radiallahu anhum. But alhamdulillah, later on, years after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened their hearts to Islam and they all became Muslims. But up until this moment, they were at the forefront of attacking Islam and fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now you've got Abu Sufyan leading Quraysh, and then you've got the people of Quraysh who are mourning their dead and their loss in the Battle of Badr, and grieving over their death, and preparing themselves emotionally. They're even to cry, keep it inside, let it out on the battlefield. Which means, letting it out on the battlefield, you're going to let your rage and your anger on the battlefield. Like, it's all an emotional, strategy. And the money that they profited, and the money they had invested in that caravan, the Prophet Muhammad came out to attack, now it's been invested into the army. Which means what? They've managed to mobilize an army of 3,000 fighters to fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the 3,000 to you and I, what 3,000? You know, one street here in Patsta has probably got 3,000 people. Back then, 3,000 in the Arabian Peninsula, that's a big number in the Arabian Peninsula. But in the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire at that time, they used to have in hundreds of thousands of soldiers. But to the people of Quraysh, in their day and age, in their time, in their environment, 3,000 soldiers, that's pretty big. So now you've got the people of Quraysh who had mobilized 3,000 fighters. They had 3,000 fighters. With those 3,000 fighters, they had 3,000 camels. And then they had 200 horses. 3,000 fighters, 3,000 camels, 200 horses. To their time, that's huge. That's big. On the top of all this, They've asked people to come out with some of their wealth and their family with them. Drag your family with you, in particular your wives. Bring them with you. Why? So you don't flee. You don't retreat. You're not going to run away and leave your wife there. Unless someone wants to run away, Allahu Alam. But in general, it's not going to happen. In general, it's not going to happen. So they told them to bring your wife with you. So they brought some of the soldiers, especially the prominent ones amongst the people of Quraysh, they brought their wives with them. So they don't run away from the battlefield. If you're going to retreat, what? You could run, but what, you're going to leave your wife and your family behind? That's the strategy they had. That's their mindset. So the people of Quraysh were preparing, one full year preparing, mentally, intellectually, emotionally, physically, financially, even weapons-wise, they were preparing themselves to come and attack the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And what was the attack? The plan of attack against the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is to finish off Muhammad ﷺ once and for all. That's it. We're going to come and strike and destroy Muhammad and his followers and finish off Medina. That's it. So it's a very well prepared army by the people of Quraysh. Remember what we mentioned to you before, the Al-Abbas, who's the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, who followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, became Muslim while he was in Mecca, but never ever migrated from Mecca to Medina. Hamza did, but Abbas stayed behind. By the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, stay behind in Mecca, become my eyes. In other words, you become my spy. So Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, never showed his Islam in front of the people of Quraysh. All the way to the opening of Mecca, Al-Abbas continued to show the people of Quraysh, I'm one of you, I'm against Muhammad, I'm not part of Islam, I continue worship the idols. But deep inside there was a follower of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was the one that was always passing on information to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Medina. And that was one of the information and news that he passed on to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the battle of Uhud, that Al-Abbas sent a messenger to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he managed to travel from Mecca to Medina during a time will take a horseman 15 days. He managed to get there in 3 days. To inform the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the plans of the people of Quraysh. What's their plan? To come and attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Medina and destroy the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam Medina once and for all. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became aware of this. And now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam doesn't have much time for him alayhi salatu wasallam to prepare. Look, these people are already marched out or about to march out. Yeah, it's going to take a few days, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also needs a few days to prepare. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the news. He did not share it with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum until a few days later, until he saw that it was the right time to share with the Sahaba, because you don't want people to be panicked. You don't want to petrify people, and it shows you how smart the Prophet alayhi sallam is, how strategic the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gathered the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and informed them. But he did not inform all the Sahaba. He gathered the close circle to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for your information, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a number of circles. He had the very, very close circle to him, Abu Bakr, Umar. And then he had another wider circle, other companions. Then another circle, and then another circle. It shows you how smart and strategic the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. The very, very sensitive issues, Abu Bakr and Umar, and sometimes early Abu Bakr. Very sensitive. And then, more than that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the senior Sahaba. They call them Kibar al-Sahaba. The senior Sahaba. The leaders, the heads, the unknown. You know, the heads of the Sahaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is together them. And then you've got your commoners, and then you've got the circles after them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam alerted the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum of the planning of the people of Quraysh. What are they planning for? They are planning with the 3,000 soldiers and fighters and army coming to Medina to destroy Medina. Now you've got the Muhajirin, but also you've got the Ansar, who are the original residents of Medina, who have a lot more of a stake for them to lose, because that's their home. The people of Quraysh, they've left their home behind. The people of Quraysh, or
The Muhajirin from Quraysh, they've left their home, including the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they've already lost. And when you've already lost something, it's easier for you to lose something else. But the people of Medina, Al-Ansar, they've got a bigger stake for them to lose. So obviously, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got together with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And he consulted them. He alerted them. He gave him the news that the people of Quraysh are planning to come and attack Medina. So the Sahaba became alert, vigilant, to the extent they've increased the security on the gate of Medina, in particular on the home of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They've increased the security. They had people all night awake, making sure no one infiltrates, penetrates, no one comes in, no one sleeps through the cracks, preparing themselves. And then it came where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the bigger circle, discussing with them, consulting them. What do we do? Should we go out from Medina since these people are coming to Medina? Since these people are coming to our home, to our town, to our city? Should we fight them inside the city? Or should we go out from the city and fight them on the battleground? Fight them in the open? Now, given that the people of Quraysh, the enemy is coming to Medina, they look at it from a different perspective. Some people were more keen in fighting against the people of Quraysh inside the city. Let it be a street fight inside the city. When you talk about a street fight, the one that has the street will always have the upper hand. He knows the ins and outs and the alleyways and this and that. So you had the senior Sahaba, the older Sahaba, especially those who already participated with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Battle of Badr. They thought better and wiser for them to lure the people of Quraysh inside the actual city, inside the actual street of the city of Medina, and fight them inside Medina. This way we know where to stand, where to hide, where to hit, where to strike, where to, you know, stage something, trap him something. That was the opinion of the senior companions and the older companions. But then you had the younger ones, the younger companions. In particular, those who did not participate in the Battle of Badr, they were more inspired to fight them out in the open on the battleground. And because the younger ones, usually, the younger ones, like the ones who are hot-blooded, young and hot-blooded, they become louder. Yes, the older ones, they're a lot more adamant, but they're calmer. So the younger ones were loud. And they were persistent on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, O Messenger of Allah, let's go out and fight them and teach them a good lesson. Let's go out in the open, in the plains. We'll fight them, we'll teach them a lesson. Let's go next to the near the mountain of Uhud and we'll teach them a very good lesson and we'll fight against them, this and that. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had two different opinions. Him, alayhi salatu wasalam, who was more leaning towards fighting them on the street in Medina. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was leaning towards that for a number of reasons. Strategically, he thought it's better. These people will come in our own homes. We'll teach them a good lesson because we know the ins and outs of our home. And at the same time, we'll also safeguard and protect our families. If we're going to go out, we're going to leave our families unprotected. They looked at it from that way. But then you had the younger ones who were adamant, they were loud, they were motivated, and they were pushy for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fight outside Medina, in the plains, in the desert, in the open. So at the end, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want to oppose the loud ones. Even though deep inside, he wanted to go with the wiser ones, the older ones. And that's fighting against the people of Quraysh. Let them come into Medina, we'll teach them a lesson here. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw the younger ones being more excited and motivated, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went against his own will, against what he thought is best, or what he felt more comfortable with. It shows he's not a dictator, he's open. A leader is the one that contains everyone, not the one that tells people here and there. Most people, their perception of a leader is the one that gives instructions. You do this, you do that. No, a leader is the one that contains people. Look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was leaning more towards fighting against the people of Quraysh in the city of Medina. But then he went against what he felt more comfortable with to go with the younger one's opinion, and that's to fight him outside the city of Medina. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, we'll fight him outside. And then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a leader and as a great example, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got up and he said, I'll be the first one to prepare myself. I'll lead by an example. I'm trying to go and fight, I'm going to be the first one to fight. I'm trying to go and prepare, I'm going to be the first one to prepare. I'm trying to go and sacrifice, I'm going to be the first one to sacrifice. So Nabi Sassam got up, went into his home, into his chamber, which was connected to the masjid. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went and prepared himself. Prepared himself for what? For war. Which means the Nabi Sassam puts his armor on, his shield, prepares himself, says goodbye to his family, and the Nabi Sassam ready to march out. When the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went in his home, the older companions who saw the younger ones persisting and being pushy, and pushing their opinion on the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to fight outside Medina, they start to reprimand them. They start to tell them off. That was rude. That's not nice the way you spoke to the Prophet. You forced the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to do something against his will, against his comfort. The older ones start to reprimand the younger ones. Now the younger ones, out of good intent, they didn't mean to be pushy. Maybe, you know, when someone gets excited, he starts to do things that people, okay, this guy's, you know, he's getting out of hand. So the older ones start to reprimand the younger ones. The younger ones start to feel bad. They waited for the Prophet Muhammad to come out. And then when the Prophet came out, all the younger ones who were pushy and persistent on the Prophet Muhammad for him to come out of Medina and fight the people of Quraysh outside Medina, they start to apologize to the Prophet and say to him, O Messenger of Allah, forgive us. We do apologize for being too pushy and persistent on you. We didn't realize, we just got carried away. Oh, Messenger of Allah, do what you want. If you want to fight him in Medina, we are with you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied back to them and said to them, a prophet has no right, after he puts on his shield and armor and carries his sword, to put it down. We've decided we're going to pursue what we decided on. Bismillah, ala barakatillah, depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let us all go out to fight the enemy. So that's it, they knew. This is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had agreed, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had acted upon it. Now everyone needs to follow. And remember, in the battle of Badr, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the Sahaba the option for them to join him. In the battle of Uhud, sorry, there's no option. It's a must. Everyone must join. Everyone needs to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everyone went ahead, started to prepare themselves. And they all assembled and came together, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and marched out of Medina towards the strategic battlefield, which was near Uhud. When they marched out of Medina, they marched a big number to them, 1,000 soldiers. In the battle of Badr, 313. In the battle of Uhud, 1,000 soldiers. Like, it's a small number. And compare it to the people of Quraysh, the 3,000. Subhanallah. But it didn't stop over here. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam marched out of Medina, the strategic place that they had decided to go and fight at was Uhud. The mountain of Uhud from the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about 6 km. 6 km, so it's not really far. And the mountain of Uhud is in the boundary of Medina. So it's still in the city of Medina, but not in the fortress, if you want to call it, or the main city center of Medina. So 6 km from the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ to the mountain of Uhud, that's not far. And the mountain of Uhud and that area is still part of the vicinity of the city of Medina. It's part of the Haram. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the Sahaba were marching out, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had a rotten apple amongst him. He had a rotten apple. And what happens when you have a rotten apple in a box? One apple, one rotten apple, amongst 100 apples, what happens if you leave it there for long? That rotten apple starts to spread amongst a number of apples. And Nabi Sassam had rotten apples amongst him. Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, the head of Munafiqeen, did you forget him? Remember him? We spoke about his story. He showed Islam from the outside, but deep inside he concealed his hatred and grudge against the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He will jump on any opportunity to fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to plan a plot against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Even in this one, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, he's from the older people of Medina. He's not a companion, he's a munafiq, but he's from the older ones. And he was from the ones that said, let us fight them inside Medina. But then when he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being persuaded by the younger companions to go and fight him outside Medina, he used that to turn 300 people out of the 1,000. 300. out of the 1,000. He used that to turn 300 fighters who joined the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and marched out of Medina with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn them away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying to them, look, you want to follow Muhammad? You want to follow Muhammad? You want to go and sacrifice your life for someone that took the advice of young, little, mad people over you? See the manipulation? Look, subhanAllah, the evilness, the sinister, how vile this person used to be. So he managed to persuade, manipulate 300 people out of the 1,000. Out of those 300 people, yes, some of them were munafiqeen and some of them were genuine, sincere sahaba, but they got manipulated. They got manipulated. How do you put your faith in someone like Muhammad who put the advice of a young person who has no experience in life of fighting over your advice? It plays. Imagine, wallah, you're 40, 50 years old and someone saying to you, look, Muhammad had taken the advice of a 16, 17 year old. You're going to turn around and say, you know what? Does Muhammad really know what he's doing? I'm not going to put in $10 or $20. I'm putting my life here. Am I in a safe position for me to go and sacrifice my life? I'm following a man, Muhammad. Does he know what he's doing? 300 people out of the 1,000. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam marches out of Medina with 1,000 soldiers. By the time he reaches to Uhud, he only had 700. 700 against what? 3,000, which means what? That the number of people of Quraysh outnumbered the number of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his soldiers by four times. Four times! And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has 700 now against 3,000. Like, you know, you think about it. Okay, that means if I'm going to be fighting on a battlefield, right now we listen to it and everyone's, MashaAllah, Allahu Akbar. Wallah, the Sahaba, you know what? The Sahaba were inspirational. Don't think about it just that way. Yeah, they were inspirational, but you know what? Think about what they're thinking. You put yourself as one of the 700 people who's coming out with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know things, does it mean I have to be fighting five people at once? Yeah. You have to be, you're up against five people at once. You had doubts fighting against one. Imagine five people at once. It's not easy. You know, it's easily said, and alhamdulillah sounds very good, and wallah, Shaykh, wallah, inspired me. I'm inspired too, you know, even by my own talk. But at the end of the day, I want you to put yourself in their shoes. It's not easy. You're talking about 700 people who are with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leaving their homes with the possibility of never turning back. And not only that, each one of us thinking, what? I have to fight against five people. When you're doubting that, can you win against one person? But at the end of the day, who are you with? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're relying on Allah azza wa jal. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marches out of Medina with 1,000 soldiers. By the time he got to Uhud, he had 700. By the time he got to Uhud, he had only 700 soldiers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even revealed it in the Quran al-Kareem. Okay? إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَى وَاللَّهُ وَلِيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكِّلْ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah even spoke about the incident where the believers start to become doubtful. Like, you know, you're already marching out of Medina as 1,000 soldiers. You're already marching out of Medina, 1,000 fighters. And you already know that you're fighting against 3,000. And now, rather, you're already like at the brink, at the edge of doubting 1,000 against 3,000, and then the numbers drop rather than increasing. So what happens here? Obviously, your motivation drops with it. It's not like you walked out with 1,000 soldiers and then, alhamdulillah, look, another 500 joined. What happens here? People get motivated. But you walk out 1,000 against 3,000 and then the numbers drop. It's not easy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even spoke about the incident event where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your own followers are Muhammad. Your own people were divided into two. Some of them became demotivated. Some of them became demotivated. Even amongst the 700 who were the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them became demotivated. Some of them started to doubt, like, you know, before those 300 people that left us were 1,000 and we're in two minds. Now the numbers dropped, people's motivation also dropped with it. If you're not strong in your faith, and I'm not saying the Sahaba were not strong in their faith, but they're human beings at the end of the day. You know, people see in front of them like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran al-Kareem, لَوْ خَرَجُوا فِيكُمْ مَا زَادُوكُمْ إِلَّا خَبَالًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying to him and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, saying to them, don't worry about these people who left you behind. There's 300 people who walked away from you. Don't be upset. Don't be upset over them. These are munafiqeen. Not all, of course, but most of them are munafiqeen. And you know what? You're better off even without them. Allah said it. You are better off without them. Because if these people continue to be with you in your fight, in your army, they'll probably even demotivate you during the battle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleaned them out. They were flushed out. Don't worry about them. Sometimes you don't want extra dead weight. Extra dead weight doesn't help the situation. On the contrary, you rather release yourself from it and move forward. And subhanAllah, like, it's a challenging time. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the 700 soldiers arrived to where? To Uhud. Where's Uhud? 6 km away from the masjid. From the masjid, not from Medina. Uhud is inside Medina. Uhud is inside Medina. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived to Uhud. Now there's something unique about Uhud, the mountain of Uhud. There's something unique about it. What did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam say about the mountain of Uhud? The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is a mountain that we love and it loves us. This is a mountain that we love and it loves us. So much so that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam described that mountain as a mountain of the Jannah. To the extent that once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was climbing the mountain of Uhud, him, Abu Bakr, Umar and Ali. And then the mountain of Uhud started to shake. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Uthbut Uhud, calm down, O Uhud. It's only a prophet, a trustworthy man, and two martyrs who are standing on you. So the mountain calmed down. Who's the prophet? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who's the trustworthy man? Abu Bakr. And who are the two martyrs? Umar and Ali. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already projected. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already spoken about the prophecy of Umar and Ali to be martyred, to be killed. Look at the precise information the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving. So there was that connection to the mountain of Uhud. There was that connection to the mountain of Uhud. Having arriving to the mountain of Uhud and being the first army to arrive there, obviously when you arrive to the battlefield and you are the first one there, you get to pick and choose your strategic position. You say, okay, let us cover ourselves here, do this, do that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arriving to the battlefield before the people of Quraysh, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the leverage and the advantage of him choosing his strategic position, which was what? Let us protect our backs with the mountain. We are here before anyone else, so let us strategically choose. Okay, this corner is better than that corner, this place is better than that place, let's take over this to strengthen yourself. Like, you know, being on the top of the mountain and you've got the enemy climbing, you're gonna have bigger advantage than you climbing and the enemy on the top. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived to the mountain of Uhud, or in the Uhud area, in the Uhud space. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strategically chose his position to protect himself and his back and the Sahaba by the mountain of Uhud. But there was a gap. There was the mountain of Uhud and there was a gap in between the mountain of Uhud and a small hill. A small hill. This mountain, there's a gap, and then you had the mountain of Uhud. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that gap as a weak point, as a weak space, where the people of Quraysh can come and infiltrate from behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He appointed 50 archers, led by a companion, his name is Abdullah ibn Jubair. And he told him, you and those 50 stand on the mountain of archers, later on known as the mountain of archers. You stand over here. You protect our backs. If the people of Quraysh try and penetrate through that gap behind us, you push them back. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, do not come down, whether you see us win or lose. Don't you come down from that mountain until I give you instructions. Even if you see us being killed and the birds are eating our flesh, you stay on that mountain. Can you get any more direct instructions than that? Allahu Akbar. It's like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can see. It's like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is projecting something for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to Abdullah ibn Jubair, who's the head, who's the chief of those 50 archers standing on that mountain that's later on known as the mountain of archers, as if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can project something happening. He said to him, don't come down, don't move. Whether we win or lose, you stay there until I tell you so. Even if you see us being slaughtered and the birds are eating our flesh, is therapy. You can't get anything more direct than that. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt something. What did he feel? A night before that, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw in his dream. What did he see in his dream? He saw in his dream saying, Inshallah, it's khair. He said, I saw a cow being slaughtered. And I saw on the tip of my sword being bent and broken. And then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and I saw myself putting my hand in my armor. That's a dream the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw. Later on, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interpreted it. The cow that was slaughtered, a close kin of him will be killed on that battle. And the sword that was bent on the tip of it or broken, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described it to be or interpreted it as close companions that will be killed. And then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interpreted the armor where he had his hand in it, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described that and interpreted that as the Medina being at stake. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had that sense of feeling. That's why along the strategy and along the story of the Battle of Uhud, you realize that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is extra cautious, extra sensitive. And you know, when someone is extra cautious and sensitive, you start asking the questions, is it something? It's like when you leave home in the morning and your mom tells you, look, watch out, do this, do that. Do you know something that I don't know? I'm like, just tell me. You know, when you get extra phone calls, like, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extra sensitive. He had that sense of feeling. Whether the dream that he saw, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cast something in his mind or his heart, or the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to calculate things, all those things play a huge decision in the mind of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrived to the Uhud area, and he chose a strategic position, protecting his back and the Sahaba's back with Uhud, which means the people of Quraysh will be coming right in front of him and the mountain of Uhud will be behind them. There was a weak spot, a weak point, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed 50 archers on that mountain to protect the Sahaba if anyone from the people of Quraysh wants to penetrate that weak spot. And then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam divided the army, divided the fighters into three platoons or divisions. One, the division of the Muhajirin, led by Mus'ab ibn Umair. When he said led by Mus'ab, he was the flag bearer or carrier, which means he's the one at the forefront. Then the other division, the division of the Aws from the Ansar, led by Usaid ibn Hudayr. And then the third division was the division of the Khazraj from the Ansar, led by Al-Hubab ibn Mundhir. So that's the strategy the Prophet ﷺ had. He divided them into three divisions. One for the Muhajirin, led by Mus'ab ibn Umair. The second one for the Aws from the Ansar, led by Usaid. And they're all tribal, they all come from the same tribe, or close to each other. And the third one is the third division, the people of Khazraj, led by Al-Hubab ibn Mundhir, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is there, preparing himself for a confrontation, a combat against an army that exceeds his number four times, led by Abu Sufyan, 3,000 soldiers to come and fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Uhud, a place which is only a few kilometers away from the Masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which we'll talk about inshallah the actual battle, the actual combat that took place at Uhud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who listen here and act upon the listen here. Inshallah, tune in, be with us next Thursday after Salat al-Maghrib here at Tayyumay. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanaka Muhammadak nashadu wa la ila an. Nastaghfiruk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu alaikum.